The title of my talk is Scalable, Secure, Scuttlebutt. My name's Dominic Tarr. So what is Scuttlebutt? So Scuttlebutt, Scuttlebutt is a nautical term for gossip. A butt is a barrel that water is stored in, and scuttle is to open the barrel. So it's to make a hole in it. So this way, scuttle is also to sink a ship, because you open the ship. So So this means gossip for pirates and stuff like this. So I got the term from a part of the Amazon paper. There was Amazon paper called Flow Control for Anti-Entropy Projects. It's like for anti-entropy protocols. So it's eventually consistent gossip protocol that's used within a trusted system. And then I made Secure Scuttlebutt, which took the same idea and then added security. So the ID of the peer is its public key. The data model is just append-only logs, where each peer appends to it, has its own personal log that's signed. Peers can relay other messages, but they can't insert, modify, or reorder messages because the signatures would then be invalid. So this gives you like a really simple data model that can use to re-represent a bunch of stuff, but it's completely like free to run. Like signatures are, you can make 12, you know, thousands of signatures a second on an ordinary laptop. The current implementation can receive like 2,000 messages a second and validate them. Like it avoids all kinds of bottlenecks that you do if you have a consensus layer. It maps quite closely to social media kind of models like Twitter and whatnot, because you follow the feeds that you want to replicate, and this solves a whole bunch of neat problems. So this solves a Sybil attack, because it bubbles up to the human layer, and then they just unfollow the nodes they don't want to talk to or don't want to hear from. It also provides discovery. So writing a crappy peer-to-peer Google would be really, really hard, but writing a crappy peer-to-peer social network actually can still be really awesome if there are awesome people on it. And you can still discover new things. So it's a way of like discovering things in a decentralized way. And then because it replicates messages in order, it's easy to think about building a database on top of this, because the things happen, you receive things in the same order that they happened. So that was Secure Scuttlebutt. And then my recent work has been to make it much, much more scalable. So Scalable Secure Scuttlebutt is the same thing again, but optimized for bandwidth and latency. So the big deal here is that the networking overhead is proportional to the feeds updated. And I'll explain why that's important. So part one is optimizing the network topology. So the simplest, most naive design would be just to connect to everyone. And I had a really cool animation of this that you can't see. But perhaps I'll just like, I don't know, can see, you want to see something kind of happening? Yep. So this, of course, is like inherently centralized. It goes out from one point, but it's actually really efficient, because each message is transmitted exactly once to every node. So the amount of people that receive messages is exactly the same as the amount of messages that are sent. But the problem is, this means that actually there's one node that does all the work and all the other nodes do nearly no work. And then, you know, that's, you know about why centralization is bad. So another solution is you just have a random network. Just pairs, every peer connects to a couple of other random nodes. And it's really easy to make a fully connected network like this. Like if you connect to more than two other peers, the chance of being completely connected is like, as the network gets bigger, it increases. So once you pass two, it's like the chance of being fully connected is like pretty much certain. But the problem is that it's a trade-off between bandwidth and latency depending on how many extra connections you have. So I have another animation here. So it's like looks like a noisy mess, and then you might see some like red All the red messages that are flying around, those are the extra redundant messages. And if you have, like, I think this one has like five connections or something. I've got a little table here. Yeah, so once you have like five connections per things, then you're getting like 10 times extra redundant messages that you don't need to send. Well, you kind of need to send to make sure they all arrive, but you've sent 10 times as much as you needed to. But it's super robust. The simple, and it's super simple to implement as well. The rule is just send new messages to everyone that didn't send it to you, which is also mean don't resend messages you already know. So just when you receive a message, check if you already know about this message, and if not, send it to everyone that you're connected to, and then that will flood the whole network pretty efficiently, like very robustly. Like if some nodes get taken out, it'll just be routed around other ways. So there's only like a couple of cases we need to think of here is like one peer sends it to another peer, or the second peer sends it to the first peer. And the other thing that can happen is they both send it to each other, where there are two paths for that message to get to Alice and to Bob, and they both received it within the time that it takes to send one message. That's the only case where you get both peers passing the message. Where you get a redundant connection. And the bandwidth complexity is like, it's proportional to the messages times the spanning connections plus twice the redundant connections, because each redundant connection gets two messages sent on it. So the redundant connections are like much more expensive than the minimal set of spanning connections. And once you've got 10, when you've got 10 connections to other, per peer, you have like 95% redundant messages. So that means if we can get rid of the redundant messages, we can just transmit one message per peer, which is optimal. So the better solution is a spanning tree network. So a spanning tree is like we get a graph and we just only have the connections we need to reach all of the nodes. So we can take the flooding gossip and we can use that to build a spanning network in a decentralized way. By just whenever you receive a duplicate message, you just deactivate that connection. I didn't say disconnect, and I'll come back to that in a bit. So you just deactivate that. So now you're sending like just the number of messages. The only problem is that trees are really fragile. Because now you've basically just added a whole bunch of single, you've made every single node into a central point of failure. So there's one path between any two random nodes, and if any of the nodes in that thing fail, then then those messages won't get through. So the so it's bandwidth optimal, but it's not robust. But then there's this paper I discovered a while ago called Epidemic Broadcast Trees, and this combines the best parts of both flooding gossip and spanning trees. So how it works basically is you have the connections are in two modes. There's eager and there's lazy. And the redundant connections get put into lazy mode. So in eager mode, when you receive a message, you transmit it immediately. And when a connection is in lazy mode, when you receive a message, you just send a really short note that you know about this new message now. So all of the spanning connections get the whole message sent across it. So that lets the message propagate as fast as it can. And then the redundant connections, they just have a very short message being sent across. So it might only be, so in the current implementation of Secure Scuttlebutt, the average message size is like 700 bytes, and it could be go up to 8 kilobytes, but the note would only be like 80 bytes, I think, and that could be like binary optimized down to probably less than 10. So the redundant connections still exist, but you just send way less data on them. And then the robustness still exists because when a message, when so when you receive a message for the first time, you like rebroadcast it and so on. But if you receive a note about a message that you haven't, that you don't know about yet, then you send a request back to that peer, asking them to turn back into eager mode, and then they'll send you the whole message, and now the network is repaired. So, has the best of both worlds. And then there's only a small amount of state that you need to keep track of per peer for per feed. You just need the ID, the local sequence number, the remote sequence number, the local request, the remote request, and the local and remote modes. So that's only, we're under, like, depending on how long the ID string is, we're talking about, like, just, like, tens of bytes. That is, So then the other, so that's all about optimizing the network. So the second part is optimizing the handshakes. So secure Scuttlebutt had this, original Scuttlebutt had this thing called a vector clock. So a vector clock is just like a list of all of the things. You have a whole bunch of friends, and when two friends bump into each other, they say, "Oh, when did you last hear from Bob? I heard from Bob on Tuesday. When did you last hear from Alice? I heard from Alice on Monday." And if I say that I saw Alice on Monday and you saw her on Sunday, then I know I just need to send you the messages from Monday, from after Sunday. So it means we just exchange this one thing, and then I just know immediately what you don't have. And by arranging the messages in a linear order, it makes that comparison like completely simple. If you have like more complicated orderings, and like if you have some kind of more complicated structure, it becomes much, much more difficult to do a remote set comparison. But if you have it in a linear order, it's like dead simple. So just like compromise towards the simpler structure that's easier to be optimal about. But that has a problem in that if you're having, like the original paper that describes this said that it probably, you know, it was designed for, used for one cluster within a data center, so you'd have like a DynamoDB instance that they said might have like 300 nodes, which is maybe a lot for one, you know, cluster in a data center, but it's not a lot for a peer-to-peer network. We want to have thousands and thousands of nodes. So if you have thousands and thousands of nodes, then just sending the vector clock like really adds up. Because it might just be like a public key and a sequence number, so that might be like 80 bytes. But then if you're sending this for like 3,000 people, that is like into like hundreds of kilobytes. So that means like each time you connect, you might send like half a megabyte of data both ways. And if you can reconnect, you could be sending like tens of megabytes a day, just to keep the network alive, like even if no messages are being sent. So that's not very good at all. But one of the other Secure Scuttlebutt contributors, Charles Linher, came up with this idea to skip some requests. So what you do is you just remember the vector clock that the other person sent you, and then compare your new vector clock to the stored one for that peer, and then just don't mention all the things that haven't changed. So if I, if we meet on Sunday and we exchange news about Carol, and then we meet each other again on Wednesday, and neither of us have talked to Carol since then we just don't mention Carol. And because we know that if the other person did, they would mention her. So that means that you can just leave out most of the vector clock, and you just don't mention most of the things that have changed, that all the things that you think probably haven't changed. And then if you find out, if the other person does mention it, then you just reply with like your partial vector clock of the things that didn't change. Yeah, and this is really important, because When you have like people using pretty much any kind of application, power laws are really typical. So you're really likely to have some users that are like really active, use every day or posting constantly. You'll have like some users that are like daily, a fair amount of like moderate users, and then like heaps and heaps of like people that only use it occasionally or even signed up and never used it again. And you don't want to be wasting bandwidth on people that haven't done anything in a while. So this simple technique allows you to completely cut out all of that stuff. And that basically gives you, in the end, so basic scuttlebutt, the message overhead per connection was like the messages plus the feeds. And if no messages have changed, the messages might be zero, but feeds could be thousands. But secure scuttlebutt is messages plus updated feeds. And updated feeds could be a much, much smaller number. Usually it would be, like if you reconnect frequently, the number could be will be close to zero. If you reconnect months later, it will just be, you might get, individual users might have posted hundreds of messages, but the overhead is just one for that updated feed, which makes reconnections very cheap. The only time you have to pay the whole, send all of the feeds is when you have a when the first time that two pairs connect. So that's very good. And the latency complexity is just you're replicating in either one or two round trips. So one round trip if you've sent the whole clock, and they then send the messages. But if they send a part, if the messages that you haven't mentioned haven't updated, then it's one round trip. And if you send a message, if they send a partial vector clock and then you have to send one back, then it's two round trips. But my, background since now basically improvising. I became interested in this because I was living on a sailboat in New Zealand, and I was used to my normal thing was not having very good internet. When I first became interested in this, I didn't actually have any internet in my boat. And I was like, why can't that be? Like, why does that mean that I can't use my computer? Like, you should be able to use your computer. I also grew up on a farm in New Zealand where the best internet we had was like a satellite internet that had like a 1 second round trip, which is like, you know, it shouldn't really take that long for light to travel, but it has lots of switching packets and that sort of stuff. So I was really determined to, latency is really a killer. Like, if you live in like a fancy place that has fiber and that sort of stuff, then latency, you might not be able to notice it, and a couple of extra round trips might not be that bad. But when latency gets bad, it gets really bad. And if you have a design with that sends a lot of packets back and forth, then it's going to be really, really painful to use in that situation. So I was determined to have like a constant number of round trips. So one or two round trips, I think, is like about how much you can I can tolerate for a replication protocol. Logarithmic round trips, not acceptable. That's going to be really painful in many cases. So the part three is, I'm glad they've arrived, comparison to IPFS. I was sure people would ask about this. So Secure Scuttlebutt basically optimizes for the worst case in IPFS. So Secure Scuttlebutt is designed for like long append-only chains, and this would be like the pathological case in IPFS. So they're trying to do completely opposite things. But similar in that they both replicate data without global consistency. So they're kind of like an infrastructural role for if you're building like other peer-to-peer apps and so on. So neither have any like cryptocurrency or thing like directly built into it. But if you're building stuff like that, you could move your data around using a combination of these things. Secure Scuttlebutt streams updates in order per feed, and IPFS has a pointer to the latest message and works back. And if you wanted to have it relatively efficient, you'd have some kind of tree or some sort of directory where you find the things, or just not have very deep structures have relatively shallow ones. So IPFS is probably better for like arbitrary partial data sets like wikis and sort of static sites, such things, or like directories of data and that sort of stuff. Whereas SSB is designed specifically for like social applications or social applications with something strapped on the side. So Secure Scuttlebutt is basically a graph database and IPFS is a file system. Okay, that took less long because I didn't get to show you the animation stuff, but that's it. Okay, if you'd like to learn more, you can go to scuttlebutt.nz. That's two T's, and github.com/sbc/patchwork. There's like a UI for like a real working application that you can use today. And if you go on that, you'll meet lots of lovely people that will tell you all about how things work. Sorry, the slides didn't work. Still got 8 minutes. Any questions or heckling or anything? Scuttlebutt.nz. Cool. Thank you very much.